We are in the Gospel of Luke. We're in a series in Luke. And last week, we looked at an encounter that a woman has with Jesus that where there was this incredible emotional outpouring of faith and love for Jesus. It was a dramatic story, dramatic moment. But today the passage is not about any dramatic emotional outpouring of faith. This passage this morning is about the long haul of faith, the long journey, day in, day out of faith. And how can we grow in our faith over decades of life? And so let's turn to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. And if you are in elementary age, there are some kind of resources at the back I forgot to mention. And I think the youth, there have been some handouts that have been extended as well, so you can use those to follow along in the sermon. So hear the word of God, Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. Soon afterward, he, Jesus, went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock, and it grew up. It withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path who are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, may your word fall on good soil in good hearts, good and honest hearts, open hearts this morning, so that we as your people would bear fruit. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Being family worship, I'll hope to try and engage some of the younger kids a little bit in the sermon. How many of you, if you say in elementary school, have somewhere in your home a place where your parents mark how much you're growing? Right? Or maybe you've seen it. Like every year they measure like how often you grow. How many of you, maybe who are older, can remember your parents measuring how much you grow? Yeah, so, and then a couple of parents, right? What did you feel like when you saw like that you're getting taller? Yeah, Rich is going, yeah, feeling like this, right? It feels good, right, to grow, right? It feels like, oh, now I'm stronger, I'm bigger. It's kind of natural, like if year after year you didn't grow as a kid, you'd be like, some things maybe not quite right, right? And so we enjoy growing up, right? We enjoy maturing. Let me ask the question for those of us who've stopped growing up, but maybe started growing in other ways, right? We're no longer getting taller. Actually, I'll be honest, like my last 2 annual checkups, I'm actually going down a little bit, starting to shrink, right? Do you still like growing? Right? Yeah. I think as adults, particularly in our context, we are people who love growing in different areas. We love growing in our skills, right? We love growing in our knowledge. We love growing in our abilities. We love growing in our influence and impact in society. Most of us are always seeking to grow. What about our faith? What about our faith? Are we still, and are we seeking to grow in our faith? Are we growing in our faith in this season of our lives? What might kind of spiritual faith growth look like? I think in one sense, it's transformation. We are changing, right? So if I'm growing in my faith, I'm less angry and more kind. I'm less foolish and more wise. I think growth also looks like maturity. My faith gets stronger, deeper, more robust, more resilient, able to endure the trials of life. I think spiritual growth also looks like impact in the kingdom of God. We are contributing to the growth of God's kingdom in other people's lives and in society. The biblical image for spiritual growth is bearing fruit. To grow in our faith is to grow like a plant. It's to produce healthy, mature fruit in my own heart and in the world that God has placed me in. Friends, whether you're here and you're in elementary school, whether you're way past elementary school and you're a lot older, have you grown in your faith over the last 6 months? If we're older, have we grown in our faith over the last 3 years, 5 years? One final question. Do we know how to grow in our faith? Today's passage is the definitive teaching of Jesus in the Gospels. And it is on how his disciples are to grow in their faith. Verses 1-4 set the scene. Jesus is like a herald. He's going from town to village and he's announcing good news to everyone. He's announcing the good news that God's kingdom has broken in and is beginning to reign in this world. And we are told that there are some people with him. There are the 12 apostles that he has chosen who are with him. And then interestingly, Luke names by name three women who are with him. And they've all been healed. Mary Magdalene has been healed of 7 demons. Joanna is someone who is kind of politically well-connected. And all these women are contributing to the ministry. It's another indication that Luke is very mindful to include the reality and the truth that contrary to the society of that time, women are having a profound impact on the ministry of Jesus and contributing to the ministry of Jesus. And then we have in verse 4, a great crowd has gathered around Jesus. So there's this great crowd who have come out together on Jesus and he starts to teach them. And in Luke, this is the first time in Luke that he uses a parable to teach. Now, a parable, many of us kind of have an idea of what a parable is. For this morning, I want you to think about a parable as a riddle. Who likes riddles? Okay, so if you like riddles and you have a great riddle, I want you, if you're younger, to come up to me in the hospitality hour and tell me a riddle, okay? So I want you to come and tell me a riddle that you don't think I'm going to be able to get. So we like riddles. Why? Because we have to kind of solve it. We have to kind of figure out what the meaning of the riddle is. And a parable is like a riddle. Jesus is telling a riddle to this great crowd because he wants them to try and figure out what it means, what it's all about. But we've got a problem this morning because we've already read the answer to the riddle, right? And many of us already know the answer to this riddle. So I'm going to read it again, and I want all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, to pretend we've never heard this before, that this is the first time that we are hearing this parable, this riddle. So Jesus says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock as it grew up, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it, and some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, if this is a riddle, what do we need to figure out? Anyone? Anyone in kind of still in school want to answer? What are the things we need to figure out in order to understand this riddle? We need to understand what? Who is the sower? We don't know who the sower is. We need to understand what is the seed? We have no idea what the seed is. And we need to understand what on earth is going on with all these different types of soil. Okay? And then we have to understand this really weird saying at the end where Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Why does Jesus say that? Why does he say, he who has ears to hear? How many of you have ears? Let's make sure you're awake, right? Okay, let him hear. Surely everyone who has ears hears. This is actually, this last saying is the key to this whole parable. It is actually the key to growing in our faith. Friends, Jesus is teaching that since we need to grow in our faith, we must hear. We must hear the word of God. Growing in our faith is all about hearing. There is no growing without hearing. And so let's see what this all means. Let's kind of walk through this parable. As we hear the word about bad hearts, we hear the word about good hearts, and then we hear a word, the word about a kingdom secret. So it's very simple. Bad hearts, good hearts, and a kingdom secret. This is often referred to as the parable of the sower, as we look at what it looks like about bad hearts, but it's actually got very little to do with the sower. It's not a good title for this parable at all. This is not about the sower. This is about the seed, and this is about the soil. And so this is what Jesus goes on to explain, is the seed is the word of God. So specifically the kingdom of God and the gospel message. The seed is the word of God, and the soil is the hearts of those who hear the word of God. So you think about it at that moment, Jesus is teaching to a great crowd, and as he's teaching, he is sowing seed, and as the crowd hears it, they are receiving it. And so they are the soil, and their hearts are the different types of soil that are hearing this word. And what is crucial about this parable is what is happening in the hearts of those who hear the word of God. The heart is the center of their being. What is going on in the hearts of those who hear the word of God? What is going on in your hearts at the moment as you hear the word of God? And the first three situations deal with bad hearts, bad soil, which leads to no growth. And a pastor called Jim Boyce, in his book on the parables, has useful labels to describe these soils, and I'm going to borrow from him. He says, the first soil, in verse 12, are those who have hard hearts. Hard hearts, okay? The ones along the path, Jesus says, are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. So what's happening in that kind of culture is the soil gets trampled down by foot traffic, right? And so it gets packed down, it gets harder and harder, and then it forms a path. And so when the seed is scattered on it, it doesn't sink in because it's hard. So birds swoop down and eat the seed. Okay, and then Jesus explains this as what's happening is that these hearts are hard, and so when they hear the word of God, the devil comes and like birds takes it away. So they never come to believe in the first place. Their hearts are hard. What makes a heart hard? Jim Boyce writes that what makes our hearts hard to the words of God is the fact that we actually love sin. Sin hardens our hearts against the word of God. So there are people in that crowd hearing Jesus whose hearts are already hard. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with God's word. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. They've already decided that they love their way and they don't want God interfering with their life. And so they're listening to Jesus. They may even be nodding their head, but inside their hearts are hard. So let's imagine you're a teenager, and some of you are teenagers, and your parents are going away for the night, leaving you on your own in the home to yourself, okay? So parents, that's great, right? We enjoy nights on our own. And you give instructions to your teenager. You say, you're only allowed to have your best friend spend the night with you. You can have one friend over to spend the night. But here's the thing. You knew your parents were going away, and you invited a whole bunch of people over to crash the night, boys and girls, right? You have a whole thing planned. And so your parents are telling you, final words, remember, you can only have one, your best friend, over tonight. And so what are you doing? You're nodding your head, yes, mom, yes, dad, but in your heart, what are you going? Oh my goodness, there's no way that's happening. All my friends are coming over in like 45 minutes, right? That is a hard heart towards your parents. Yes, 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 but in your heart, no way. That's bad soil. That's what Jesus is saying is like soil that lands on the hard, rocky ground. And some of you may be in this place spiritually this morning. You come to church, you nod your head on the outside, but you have already decided in your heart that you want nothing to do with God, with his word, with his kingdom, and with his ways. Why? because deep down you love sin too much. You love being in control of your own life too much. You want to do things your way and not God's way. The warning here is that if that is where your heart is, the devil is having his way with you. And salvation is passing you by. Then we have the shallow hearts of verse 13. Hard hearts, shallow hearts. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. The shallow covering of soil means that the word of God initially is received with joy. Everything is going great. The Christian life is amazing. It is incredible. It is easy. But then something happens. Something goes wrong. There's some kind of trial or testing. And suddenly it feels like Christianity doesn't work for me. There must be something better. And so these folks fall away because they have shallow hearts. And this is a particular danger for those of you who are young in your faith. So I'm speaking to those of you, particularly perhaps in youth group, high school, and in college age. Maybe your faith might feel amazing at the moment. You're having these incredible emotional, kind of spiritual highs, mountaintop experiences, wonderful worship experiences. You love Jesus so much. Everything is going great. The warning is that what happens when things start going wrong? What happens when maybe you start failing in school? Maybe you have that horrible breakup. Maybe your friends turn on you. Maybe your parents start fighting a lot at home. Maybe you face some serious physical or mental illness. In those times of testing, what happens to your faith? Do you stay or do you start falling away, believing Christianity no longer works for you? Those who fall away are those with shallow hearts. And then there is the strangled heart of verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. There is growth, but slowly but surely, over many, many years, over many, many decades, the thorns of life strangle the plant so that it shrivels up and produces no fruit. What are these thorns? They are the cares of life, the things we worry about all the time. They are the riches of life, the wealth that we possess that we cannot afford to lose anymore. And the pleasures of life, the comforts, the conveniences, the possessions, the things that make us happy. And the key phrase here in this section is as they go on their way. This happens very subtly, very slowly, almost unnoticed, over the years, over the decades, until we look around and realize we are no longer growing in our faith, we are no longer producing any fruit, spiritual fruit in our lives. So we lived in our home for now for about 6-7 years, and when we moved in, the bushes, the plants, just immaculate. The previous couple took great care of them. In fact, one of the reasons they sold their home was they it was too much hard work. And I was like, it's not a lot of hard work, just cut the grass, you'll be fine. Like, so that's what I've been doing for 6 years. Until this spring, when I noticed almost every bush in our garden is in some form of trouble. It's dying in some ways, or infected in some ways. Because for 6 years, I've not paid any attention to the bushes. And so on the way out this morning, I took some clippings. I did. Thank you, Amanda. A little call and response action. Okay, so this is a holly bush, I think. So as ChatGPT told me, right? So if you close, you can notice there are these white things growing on it, like moldy, and it's all black branches, right? It's really sick and diseased, right? This has happened slowly over time, unnoticed by me, right? Because I didn't have eyes to see. It's bearing no fruit. It's going to become like this. Dead. Nothing happening. This was right next to it. But this is what it should be like. Oh. Some are still like this. Friends, allow me to say this very gently, but quite firmly, especially to those of us who are older. Many of us have filled our lives with so many good things that they take up all the room in our hearts. And so our faith is being strangled and we're bearing no fruit. We hear the word on Sunday and it is gone from our hearts by Monday morning. Our life is consumed, first of all, by all the things we have to control that we worry about all the time. Our careers, our children, our schedules, our work, our reputation. Our life is taken over by the wealth we have accumulated that we cannot now afford to lose. And in fact, we need more wealth. And our life is filled with things we enjoy having and enjoy doing. Our vacations, our clothes, our cars, our homes, our entertainments. And those three things, worry, wealth, and pleasures, all join hands together and they strangle faith. They choke faith. Is that what is happening in our lives and in our faith? Not immediately, but over time, over years, unnoticed. So suddenly we look around and we are no longer growing spiritually. We may even be dying spiritually. Friends, if there's no growth in your faith at the moment, these bad soils, these bad hearts, right, can help us grasp what may be going on in our hearts. What may be happening in our hearts. And perhaps I hope it also awakens a desire. I don't want to be like this. I want a faith that is green and vibrant and growing and producing fruit. And how can I have that kind of faith? Well, let's now hear the word about the good heart. The good heart. In verse 15, as for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. I used to think good soil was soft soil, and I think that's an okay label for it, but I like Jim Boyce's label. He says this heart, this soil, is an open heart. And I think that captures what is going on here. The heart is open to receive. It is open to hear. It is open to hold fast, which means to cling to, right, the word of God, to not let it go. And then this leads to bearing fruit with patience. Why does Jesus add with patience? Why does he just say, you know, kind of, and bear, you know, with an honest and good heart and bear fruit, full stop? Because I think with patience captures this idea of long suffering, of the long haul, of the day in, day out. It's a faith that perseveres. It's a faith that has grit. It's a faith that just keeps on going, that no matter what life throws at you, then that kind of disciple is going to bear fruit in their life. I remember a lady I worked with when I was in campus ministry. She'd been a Christian, I think, since she was about three. She started talking to Jesus. And she was now in her 70s. And she'd borne incredible fruit in ministry. Her name was Jay, for many, many years. And when I was served on a team with her, at one stage we were talking about the Word of God. And she'd recognized that in her family, there was a history of dementia. And so she pretty much figured out that there's a strong chance that she was going to get dementia at some point. And so she decided in her 60s, right, that she was going to just bury God's word in her mind and heart. Because she said, the last thing I want in my mind before my mind is completely gone is God's word. And so that's what she set apart doing. And she knew God's word. But in her 60s, she really dedicated herself to hold fast to the word of God so that it would be the final thing in her mind before she went. Unfortunately, she got a stroke. And she passed away a little bit after we had this conversation. But here was a woman whose heart was open to God's word, that she resolved to hold fast to God's word, right, with a good and honest heart, with patience over the long haul, and her life bore great fruit. It still is this morning as I share her story. Friends, let's reflect on that word, patience. We are not a people who like things happening slowly. This is not a culture where we like things happening slowly. This is especially now in our technology age, right, where things are all immediate and quick, right? We don't want things to go over a long period of time with lots of grit and patience and suffering. In the American culture and in the American church, we are wired to want quick spiritual fixes. We want the spiritual shortcuts. We want that book or that preacher or that church or that insight that will suddenly take our faith to a whole new level. If I can just have that, then my faith will be amazing. Just that one thing, or those three steps, or that one insight. An Anglican priest, Tish Warren, writes this: our consumer culture demands convenience, efficiency, and ease. We want the secret knowledge or program that will unlock all our potential and free us from difficulties, desolation, and death. We want a strategy and plan that will make the good in our life not so arduous. Offering the promise of this, even in the spiritual life, is the way to make faith marketable. It is not, however, the way to make disciples. You do not make disciples of Jesus who bear fruit by looking for the quick fix, the easy spiritual secret. It takes patience, perseverance, grit, day in, day out, in the everyday humdrum of life, nursing a baby, cooking a dinner, greeting your spouse warmly when they come back from work, phoning a parent on a weekly basis, failing but getting up again at school or in sports, making new friends, working at the same job for years and years, getting older and older and older, and turning up at church on Sundays with an open heart. Friends, your corporate Sunday worship is, I believe, vital for the people of God if we are to grow in our faith. The word of God is scattered throughout this whole worship service, from the call to worship, right, through the worship songs, through confession, through communion, through the benediction that we receive at the end, all building up to and then flowing out of the preached word of God. It's a little bit awkward as a preacher talking about the importance of preaching, right, and why you must listen to me. But I'm not asking you to listen to me. I'm asking you to listen to Jesus speaking to you on a Sunday morning. I am responsible to prepare and preach the word of God faithfully. I am responsible to growing in my skill and my craft and my giftings. I am responsible for my own faith to be a growing faith. But you have the responsibility to hear, really hear, the word of God with an open heart. You have the responsibility of coming in on a Sunday morning with hearts that are desperate and hungry to hear from Jesus. And let me speak specifically to those of you who may be in elementary school and especially the youth group. I know this can be boring, right? It's boring for many adults as well, right? I mean, I know it's hard. I know you can feel like this time of the worship service, and indeed all of Sunday morning, is geared towards adults and doesn't have anything to do with you. And I'll try and preach in ways that engage you and learn how to do this better. But let me challenge you, especially those of you in youth group. Perhaps you don't feel engaged. Perhaps you feel bored. Perhaps you're getting nothing out of this service because your heart is already closed before you come in. You have already decided this time is not for you, that there's nothing in here for you, that you won't understand anything, that it's going to be boring and irrelevant to your life, that Jesus will not and cannot speak to you through his word. What would it look like for you to come with an open heart? Just come asking Jesus, Bruce is boring, but would you give me one thing? Would you just give me one thing out of this Sunday sermon that applies to my life? Friends, I imagine if we all, youth and older, come in with open hearts, we might be surprised by how God speaks to us. No matter how young we are or how old we are, we might be surprised about how God starts to change us and the fruit he starts to grow in our lives. And so then we land at the question, why? What would actually open up our hearts to hear from Jesus? Why would we want to hear the words of Jesus day in, day out, week in, week out, Sunday in, Sunday out, for decades of our life? Why would we keep coming back with open hearts? Let's now turn to some very strange verses that are right in the middle of the passage, words that ask us to hear the word about the kingdom secret. Those of you in elementary school, if you saw two friends of yours whispering to each other, and you went over to them and you asked them, well, what are you talking about? And they said to you, it's a secret. How would you respond? What would you want to know? You'd want to know what the secret is, right? You might say, not my business, but if they found like, it's really, so we got two contrasting responses. I like, the first one fits the sermon, the second one is like, I'll work with, right? Most of us, really, Hebrews are very polite. Most of us, when we hear a secret, someone has a secret, we want to know it. Especially if it's a secret that's going to make a big difference in our life, right? And so there's a secret here that some people get to know, and I want to share with you this morning, right? And it starts in verse 9. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he, Jesus, said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, riddles, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. What is the secret, and why do those people get to hear it and others don't? The secret, friends, is what Jesus goes on and explains, a fuller, deeper explanation of the mysteries of God and his kingdom and what it means to live in his kingdom. It is the secret to life. And who gets to hear the secret? This is the very cool thing. Those who come and ask Jesus. Those who come to Jesus and ask him for the secret, he gives you the secret. So if you think about it, he shared a parable and many, many in the great crowd walked away, except for some who came to Jesus and said, I have no idea what you just spoke about. I have no clue what that riddle is all about. Can you please, 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 I'm desperate to know the secret to the riddle. What is the answer? And Jesus says, because you have come and asked me, you will now get the secrets. All you had to do was come and ask. All you had to do is show that hunger. You will receive the secrets of the kingdom of God. And he shares with them the secret about how to grow in their faith. Keep coming to me and asking your questions. Keep having an open heart. And so in the end, what is it that's going to open up our hearts? It is ultimately going to be the sower. It is going to be Jesus. Why would we commit to being his disciple for years and years, for decades and decades, and keep coming back to him? Why would our hearts remain open to him through trials and sufferings and things going hard and wrong in our life? Well, let's turn to one of the disciples that is mentioned here in this passage to catch a glimpse that might help us. Mary Magdalene. Right at the start, we hear about Mary Magdalene. Her life was utterly broken. She had seven demons tearing her life apart. I don't think any of us can imagine how that is destroying a life. Powerless beneath the forces of evil. But Jesus healed her of that, drove those demons out, and made her whole. But here's the really fascinating thing about Mary Magdalene. This is not the last time we hear about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is there at the foot of the cross watching Jesus die. She stays with him for years, all the way to the cross. His disciples run away. She is still there. She is there when his body is laid in the tomb and the stone is rolled across the entrance. Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons driven out of her, is there watching that happen. She is among the first to go to the tomb on Easter morning and see that the tomb is empty. She is the first, along with the other Mary, to see the risen Jesus. She becomes the first witness to the resurrection in the entire world. Mary Magdalene. Because her heart remained open to Jesus for years and years. Why? Because he healed her. He saved her life. Ultimately, because Jesus became everything to her. Not only did he heal her of demon possession, but he healed her of her sins. He drove out the evil in her own heart and gave her a good heart, a new heart. And so Jesus became everything to her, which meant that she held fast not only to the word of God, friends, especially in the gospel of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, but ultimately she held fast to the word of God who became flesh, the Son of God. Friends, this is why we keep coming to Jesus with open hearts. This is why we keep having an open heart to hear his word. Because we are like Mary Magdalene, if we are Christians here. Jesus has healed us. He has saved us. He is everything to us. Do you want to grow in your faith? Do you want to experience deep transformation? Do you want to leave an impact on this world for generations and generations to come? Do you want to have a good and honest and open heart to the Word of God? Then the question for us this morning is, who is Jesus to you? Is he the one who has saved you from evil, sin, and death? Is he more beautiful to you than the wealth and the pleasures of this life? Which is why we here always try and, at some point as we preach the Word of God, come to Jesus and the gospel. Not only because all of Scripture ultimately points to Jesus, but because my hope is that Jesus will become more beautiful to us than anyone or anything else. That we will fall more deeply in love with Jesus. That he will become more captivating to us and brilliant to us. That we will hold fast to him. That he becomes our everything. So that we love him more than anything or anyone else. Because that is how we will grow in our faith. That our hearts are first opened up to the Word of God made flesh, the Son of God. And then our hearts become open to the words of God. Friends, at some point, and many of us know this, right? The mark on the wall where we get measured as a kid, it just doesn't go any higher. We just stop growing. It's going to happen. It's right. It's meant to happen, right? And I don't think any of us have started to mark how we go down every year yet. But maybe we should as a way of humility, right? But that's not the right image for growth and faith. The right image for growth and faith is a bush, it's a plant. That as we grow in our faith, our roots go deeper and deeper and deeper and keep growing. And we grow taller and taller as we become more like Jesus. And that we grow wider and wider as we have a huger and larger impact in the world. That is what growth in faith looks like. How do we grow to become like that? Our hearts are open to Jesus. Because our hearts are open to Jesus, our hearts are open to his word. And his word bears fruit in our lives as we hear him and hear those words. Let us pray. Jesus, may we hear your words this morning. Not my words, not the words of parents, not the words of friends, but may we hear the words of the risen Lord and Savior and King of Kings. May you be speaking to each and every one of us in some way where our hearts are either warmed through conviction or warmed through comfort and encouragement. And we pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.